I am sure you have friends. Hopefully you have friends here in Melbourne. I'm sure you have friends from where you come from before you came here to Melbourne. Maybe from somewhere else in Australia, maybe from somewhere else in the world. We always think about our friends, don't we? We miss them. But we also want the best for them. We want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be well. And I'm sure all of us can think of friends who have been like that to us, who have been kind to us, who care for us. When we're sick, who've came to see us. When we needed help, to be there, to help us. Who talk nice things to us. And sometimes, because they are real friends, tell us things we don't like to hear, but we really do need to hear. That's what friends do. Here we have heard in this reading from the Bible of a time when Jesus was walking and teaching and came to a town. And many people wanted to hear him. We read that Jesus went into a house, but that the house was full of people. We are told also of a man who could not walk. The word that was used in the reading is the word paralyzed. That meant he could not stand, he could not walk. To go anywhere, he needed friends who would pick him up and carry him, either in their arms or on a bed. We read here that this man who could not walk because he was paralyzed had four friends who were carrying him. They carried him on his bed to meet Jesus. Why do you think they wanted him to meet Jesus? Well, the answer is they had heard that Jesus was doing some wonderful things in people's lives. That Jesus were helping people who were sick, so sick that even doctors couldn't help them, and he made them well. They wanted their friend to meet Jesus. They were wanting Jesus to help their friend, to make him well. That was the big gift they wanted to give to their friend, to bring him to Jesus. What they didn't know was that Jesus had a bigger surprise for them and for their friend. It wasn't just that he would be able to walk, that he would be made well enough to walk. Jesus wanted to give something more, something better. But the friends had a problem. They could not get to Jesus. As I said, Jesus was in a house, and they were not the only ones who wanted to be with Jesus, to hear him, to see him do things, to help others, maybe to help themselves. And you know what it's like when you go to a big shop and there's a big sale on, and everybody had the same idea you had, to go to that shop to buy at a very good price what that shop had to sell. And it is so busy, it's hard for you to squeeze through to the place where those things are. And you have to push your way, and sometimes you can get there. It takes a little bit of time and a bit of hard work. It's a lot harder when you've got a little child with you. And you're trying to hold on to the child and get to where that thing is you want to buy. You don't want to lose the child, but the crowd is so strong and so busy, everybody pushing, trying to get there, and you're hanging on to the child. It's so hard. And if you've got two children, you holding one and they're holding another one, it's even harder. Here were four men, not just holding each other's hands, but holding the bed of a man, trying to get through a doorway, trying to get through crowds of people standing outside the door, there was no way in. They had a real problem. They wanted their friend to get to Jesus. They knew, they believed that Jesus could help their friend, but they couldn't get him there. But you know, even though it looked so hard, impossible even, could not happen, these friends were not going to give up. They were not going to take their friend back home until he met Jesus. And they came up with a great idea. The house where Jesus was had a flat roof, like many houses in Jerusalem and throughout that part of the world where Jesus lived and taught. And people had stairs going up the outside of the house so that at night time they would go up the stairs and they would sleep on the hot nights on the flat roof. So though it wasn't their house, they took their friend up the steps to the roof. And you think, well, what is the good of that? Jesus is inside the house. We're outside the house. There's no crowd on the roof. That's good. But we're no closer to Jesus. What they did was they dug a hole in the roof. You see, the roof was made from branches and mud packed into those branches so that it became a little bit like concrete. But you could break it up. And that's what they did. They made a hole in the roof. Now think of the people with Jesus in the house. They're listening to Jesus. They're watching Jesus. And then suddenly, they're looking up. Something's falling from the roof because they're making a hole. You can just imagine people stepping back and thinking, what's going on here? This roof is not safe. And then they see a hole, and the hole getting bigger. They made a mess, these friends, but they did not stop until the hole was big enough for them with ropes to lower the bed down and to move it slowly and safely to the ground. Because everybody stepped out of the way, it was easy to then push it down to the ground, right in front of Jesus. Jesus saw what the four men did. Jesus knew that these four men believed that Jesus could make their sick friend well. And Jesus was pleased with them, with their faith. And so looking at the man, he did something very surprising. As I said, this man could not walk. That was his big problem, because he couldn't walk, he couldn't work. His friends knew it. The people could see it. Everyone would be looking to see if Jesus was strong enough, if God was with him, to make this man strong again, to make him well. And if he could, they would have thought Jesus would be saying, or about to say, stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. But Jesus surprises everyone and upsets some of them. How? He didn't say straight away, stand up and walk. What Jesus said was, son, your sins are forgiven. That's a strange thing to say. The word forgive means to take away and no longer remember wrong things done to another. Jesus is saying that the wrong things, the sins of this man, that the sins that he had done were taken away. You see why that sounds so strange? This man couldn't walk. That was his problem. And Jesus said, nah, that's easy. The real problem is his sin. and that he needs forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? When you hurt somebody and you ask for forgiveness and they say, yes, I forgive you. How special that feels. When we don't ask for forgiveness, or we're not given forgiveness when we've hurt someone, the guilt makes us feel terrible, keeps us sometimes awake at night. It is like a big wall between us and the person who we have done something wrong against. It is a very good thing when someone we have hurt says, I forgive you. It is an even more important thing to know. God saying, I forgive you. That the one who created all things, who made us, before whom we live, says, I forgive you. That we have become friends with God. That's an important thing even for that man to hear. But not everybody thought that was important or were happy that Jesus was saying this to this man. The teachers of God's law who were there, sitting there listening to Jesus, they got really upset, angry at Jesus because he said this. Why were they not happy? Because Jesus was saying, they said, only what God could say. Think of it this way. We break God's law when we do wrong things against others. If I hurt you by saying mean things, by lying about you, by hitting you, by cheating you, I am not only sinning against you, I'm sinning against God. I'm doing the wrong thing against you, yes. But I'm also doing the wrong thing against God because he made us to care for each other, to love each other, to live together in a way that shows that we know him and want to honour him. So when we do something wrong, it is not just against other people. God says that's against me too. You are not only guilty before them, but before me. So while if I hurt you, you may forgive me, you can't say, and God forgives you. I have to ask God to forgive me. You can't forgive me on God's behalf. And if you hurt me, I can forgive you, but I can't forgive you on God's behalf. You also need to talk to God about the wrong in your life and ask God for forgiveness. But you see, they were upset because they were right about this one thing. Only God can forgive the sin, the wrong things that are done against him. But they were also wrong. What they didn't know was that Jesus was the Son of God and that God sent him in this world with authority to forgive sins and indeed to make it possible for forgiveness to be given to all who believed in him. And Jesus was going to show them how wrong they were about him. Jesus knew what they were thinking. And so he asked them, which is easier, for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat, pick up your bed, and walk back to your house? I think we can all answer that, can't we? It is much easier to say, you are forgiven. For who could ever say I was wrong? Only God. But when I say, get up and walk to a person who can't walk, who can't get up because they're paralysed. You will know I don't have power to help them do that. Jesus was only able to do that by his Father's power, because he was God. And so what Jesus is saying is that he will do the second to prove he has the power to do the first. I will make you strong and able to walk straight away. And that will show that I have the power to forgive your sin on behalf of God. And so Jesus said, get up, pick up your bed, and walk home. And everybody watched. And the man got up. He stood, picked up his bed. He was strong where before he had no strength. He walked where before he had to be carried. And he went home. Every man knew that this man could not walk. Everyone there saw that the man who couldn't walk was now walking, and that he was walking out of that house. His friends didn't need to lift him back up and carry him down the stairs and take him home. And the people began to wonder, who is this Jesus? Who really is he? He looks like us, he talks like us, and yet he has an authority and a power that says he is so different. And listen to what he is saying. Forgiveness, God's forgiveness, is freely being given. He can do that. Can he do that? Well, he showed he can. And they began to sing God's praises for the gift of Jesus. Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. You see, Jesus knew that this is what this man, what all people, what I, what you need more than anything else. It's not food on the table that you need more than anything else. It's not friends that you need more than anything else. It's not money in the bank, a car to drive, a job to have that you need more than anything else in life. I'm not saying they're not important. They are. But the most important thing we all need is to know God's love. That he is no longer angry with us because we ignore him and don't obey him and live as if we don't care about him. And that's what Jesus came to do. The religious teachers were wrong about Jesus. Jesus would later say to them, I and my Father are one. Which is the same as saying, I am God. I am God. That's why I can do this. Now I have to tell you, that is not easy to believe about Jesus. I understand it was hard for the religious leaders, the teachers of God's law, to believe this about Jesus. But if Jesus is God, then he does have the authority to forgive sins. And that's what Jesus showed. So as we look through the hole that was made in the roof, the question is, what do we see? From below, we see a man being lowered down by his friends on a bed. From above, we see his friends watching the man not only made well so that he could walk, but that he hears God's forgiveness through Jesus. But I think if we stand where Jesus was looking, we see something more. The hole in the roof showed a hole in a lot of people's thinking about Jesus. People crowded around him because they saw him as a great teacher. Others wanted to be there because they wanted to see him do great work, miracles, wonders. But he is more. Sadly, the religious leaders saw a little of the truth of Jesus as he showed them he does have the authority to forgive by showing he has the power to heal. But they refused to really look at Jesus. They didn't want to see what he was showing about himself to them. And they certainly didn't want to see what he showed them about themselves. For in doing this, Jesus was showing them that they too needed forgiveness. Even though they knew the Bible, they didn't know God's forgiveness. The question is, what will you see about Jesus? Jesus is saying to you and I, as he said to this man, the most important thing you need in your life is God's forgiveness. But he is also saying here, I'm the only one who can give that forgiveness. If you want to know forgiveness with God, you have to know and believe Jesus. The good news here is that Jesus gives forgiveness to those whose lives are marked by wrongness, by sin, by wrongdoing, wrong thinking, wrong speaking. He gives forgiveness to all those who believe in him. One of Jesus' close friends later wrote to all who believe in Jesus, he said, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Because of Jesus, if we're trusting in him, we are forgiven. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you and to make you his forever friend, you will find that your Christian life, though, will still have hard times. And there'll be many wrong times. When there are hard times, make sure nothing keeps you from talking about them to Jesus and trusting him to help you to meet them, face them in what he thinks is the best way. But there will be times that are wrong times, because even when we know God's forgiveness, it does not mean that we never do wrong again. And when that happens, as Christian people, then we need to again make sure that nothing keeps us from Jesus, to talk about our sin to him and to ask him for forgiveness, trusting that he will forgive us that day too, for that wrong thing too, and that he doesn't stop because he loves us. If you're not sure about Jesus, and as I said, this is a hard thing to believe, that Jesus is more than a man. If you're not sure about Jesus, if you're not sure about God's forgiveness, that it's real, that it's forever, then also learn today. Don't give up. Don't give up on trying to meet Jesus. Read the Bible. Ask someone who says they know Jesus to read the Bible with you. Ask help from your friends here to show you more about Jesus. And that's our great hope, that you will know the forgiveness that we have found with God through Jesus. That is much more special than anything else that can happen in your life. Let us talk to God about this, about Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that when Jesus came to this earth, though he was the Son of God, he became like us, walked amongst us, talked, did mighty things, but showed that his great purpose in coming was not just to take away the pain in people's life, the loneliness, the troubles, but to take away the guilt, to change the heart from delighting in doing the wrong thing to now loving you and singing your praises and living the way you want us to live, the way we were made to live as your people, your children. We thank you that though you are angry with the wrong that we do, there is forgiveness in Jesus. But that's why he came, not only to speak forgiveness, but to bring it by dying upon the cross, taking the guilt of our wrongs and paying it in full. We thank you that you accepted his death. And so now that forgiveness is not just an idea. It's not just a possibility. It is real for all who believe in him. Help us to know Jesus better, to see him as we hear about him in this story, to meet him and to hear him say that to our hearts again and sometimes again and again. We ask this in Jesus' name and thank you for him. Amen.